Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
Big evening, ThinkBigRadio.com listeners. Big here, your host tonight. We have a real power-packed interview. I have Chandra Hooks on from Chicago, Illinois. She's going to really help you take your business and your employment, if you're looking for it, to the next level. Chandra, are you there?
I'm here.
Great. Before we get this interview started, I just want to make sure that all of our listeners have a chance to write down your contact information. Can you please share that with us?
You can contact me at Chandra M. Hooks and Associates, 773-241-7110, or chandra.m.hooks @gmail.com. You can also Google me at Chandra M. Hooks and Associates.
All right, great. Now, why don't you start off before we really get into the business of what you actually do, and just tell our listeners a little bit about you, whatever it is you want to share.
Well, I was born and raised in Chicago, Illinois, and I spent a lot of time with my great-grandparents, and my great-grandparents influenced my thinking quite a bit, as well as my dad. So I was encouraged to think for myself, be myself, and I was told that I'm no better than anyone else, and no one is better than me. And as a result, I was on a quest to be free.
Wow, that's great how you use the term to be free, because a lot of people, even though we live in a free society, they're looking to have more freedom. So when you say your quest to be free, what types of things did you pursue in order to, you know, reach that level of freedom that you have now today?
Well, first of all, freedom isn't free. You have to pay a price for freedom. And my paternal grandfather was a former president of the Santa Monica, California branch of the NAACP. So in my quest for freedom, I was very conscious of the obstacles and challenges that we had to face as a people. Consequently, I explored different avenues in business. I tried many things, but I was still working in corporate America. But what really made an impression on me was when I would watch movies of, and there were very few, of slaves that had the same quest for freedom. They didn't flee and go looking for a job. They fleed, and if they made it, they became self-employed. So my great-grandfather always instilled in me that everyone had a purpose in life. Consequently, I was on a quest initially to find out what my purpose was.
When we, you know, I'm just thinking about all the different things that you're saying, and I'm just thinking about that time in our history, and what led you to the career choice and the entrepreneurial choice that you choose. It's almost as if, you know, you want to take that knowledge that you gain and pass it on and help other people learn, you know, how to acquire and also help people acquire that just really don't want to learn, but they want the end result.
Well, you have to pay dues to get to the end result. And, you know, as long as there's still a breath in you, you haven't attained the end result. So it's a constant journey.
Wow. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your company and the things that you offer and how you got started and that a little bit about that history.
Well, my first business was Complete Resume Service, and I started out writing resumes as a favor to my friends. And everyone that I wrote the resume for, they got a job. And so they kept referring me. And finally, one of my clients encouraged me to get a business card. Well, during that time, I was working for Erickson Institute, which is a graduate program in early childhood education. And so I was writing resumes on the side. And so they decided that they were going to do a an administrative restructuring. And consequently, my job was eliminated.
Wow.
So I felt sorry for myself on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And Monday, I called my tax accountant. Tuesday, I rented two electronic typewriters because computers weren't very popular then, not to own, you know, on a personal basis.
Mm-hmm.
And Wednesday, I called my former secretary and asked her for the name of a lady that I would hire on a temporary basis. Well, Wednesday, I was in business, and I haven't looked back since.
Wow. And that really says a lot about how long that you've been in business, because I remember a time back when, you know, computers wasn't something that, you know, a greater percentage of not only Americans but the world had in their home. Now we have them on our phones and, you know, all types of little devices.
Right.
So,
well, the lady that I hired on a temporary basis and part-time, she was an elderly lady at the time, and so I couldn't pay her a salary, but I offered to pay for her lunch and give her car fare, and I would teach her how to use the typewriter, the electronic typewriter.
Okay.
And so she received public assistance at the time. Well, when I was through with her, she was working for public aid. So consequently, she was no longer receiving government assistance.
Now, I know a lot of that may have, you know, with her experience and being a senior and going through a lot of things, and what is it about your resumes that you can kind of bring out things that people may not even think about as far as skills that they have based on the employment that they've had during their lifetime? What are some of the things?
That's
can you give us an example?
Good question. Yes. First of all, I write resumes based on industry/professional requirements. So, by interacting with human resource managers and presidents of colleges and universities, I have gained the knowledge as to what the requirements are for various professions and or industries.
Hmm.
So, and to answer your question as to what questions do I ask, I had a young lady come in and I'm, you know, interviewing her. I conduct an actual interview even when it's long distance because I have to get, you know, collect information from my client. And this young lady was doing marketing research. And she didn't even realize it, and no one told her. So she
wow.
was being paid for clerical duties, and she was doing very sophisticated duties and not being compensated for that.
So when you were able to assist her by, you know, first of all, after she told you, this is what I do, and then you and because of your knowledge, and you were able to translate that and actually telling her, well, that's what you do, but this is what it's actually called. Was
exactly.
she able to still work for that same firm, or did she decide, you know what, let me just put my resume out there and see what's available?
Well, usually I work with professionals, upwardly mobile professionals.
Mm-hmm.
So, and by professionals, a degree does not make one a professional.
Right.
Professionalism is your mannerisms, the way you take care of a client or the way you document whatever for your job. It's the way you behave. It's a professional way of doing things, a professional behavior. And then now you can acquire a profession, as I have, but a degree or certification, or it does not make you a professional.
Mm-hmm.
Now doctors and attorneys are, you know, they'll ask, well, what's your profession? I'm a doctor or I'm an attorney. But, you know, they can be lacking in certain attitudes and mannerisms or behavior when it comes to working with the public.
That has a lot of merit for it, I know. And my life, the different positions that I've held, you have a lot of people who, you know, they may have degrees or they may not, and the way they carry themselves, and it makes you, you know, one of the questions that I like to ask people when they come to me is, when you look at yourself presently, how you are, would you hire yourself? You know, so a lot of times when people are being honest, you know, they have to realize that, you know what, I really wouldn't hire myself. And then that's when they start changing for the better. One of the questions that I have for you is, we're talking about resumes now, and these are, you know, there's a large population of people who they really, you know, they're comfortable with the 9-to-5 and the midnight shifts and, you know, doing the things that they do. But then there's a percentage of people who they're really looking into going into business for themselves. And some of those people need help, you know, as far as filling out their corporation papers or whatever type of, you know, business entity they're looking for. But one of the things that you do also is that you help people receive grants, businesses, but you also do training. What propelled you to offer those types of classes? And, you know, just give us an example of areas that you've held those classes before also.
Well, let's backtrack for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I was taught by the federal government how to write business plans. And one of the most important aspects of a business plan is your resume. You
wow.
can have, that's right, you can have all the collateral and, you know, all the experience, but if your resume does not convey that you have the knowledge or the know-how to operate that business, you'll get kicked out of the game. So if you're applying for an SBA loan or any, you go to any bank, and the SBA is going to send you to the banks anyway, and mm-hmm. Your resume is a very critical component of the business plan, and as well as grant proposals. If I write a grant proposal, I want to know who the key players are. And their resume influences that grant. So if you don't have the knowledge and the expertise to operate that business, a lot of people, especially our people, they know how to work the business. And non-profits, they offer valuable services to the community. But you have to have the intricacies of running or operating a business. You have to know what the difference between a debit and a credit is, and what the bottom line really means. And that has to be conveyed in your resume. So
you know,
there's a lot of things that they don't tell us that carry weight and influence whether or not you get that loan or you get that grant.
You know, I have no area of expertise when it comes to writing grants. You know, I've been to classes for business plans. I've written a couple of business plans for businesses that I've done, been, you know, decently successful when I was a real estate broker when I lived in the Chicagoland area. But never once did I really think that how big of a part the resume plays in, you know, those proposals for grant writing, for loans, and even one of the other things that you and your team assist people with is procurement for government jobs.
No, not procurement for government jobs. I do contract. I write proposals for contract procurement.
Right, right.
So that's right.
Okay, yeah.
So when you're writing a proposal for contract procurement, let's say a person is a painter. Now, he doesn't need a resume in his proposal, and his proposal can be short and sweet. It doesn't have to be that elaborate. And he can include pictures of work that he's done, before and afters. I just worked with a contractor, and so he's rehabbing this cleaners. The cleaners moved to next door, you know, they were on the corner, and they had all these reasons for moving. But he included pictures. And so when he goes to his next client, then he can not only, you know, document what he does, but have pictures to show what he does. So in that case, a resume is not required necessarily, because he's not asking for any money. He's asking, he's trying to, or he's showing that he's capable of providing a service.
Okay, I see how that makes sense.
And the same with business presentation packages. If mm-hmm. you are going to submit a business presentation package, which I call the business narrative, then you document, it's in the form of a business plan. I wrote one for Jim Thornton, who was the executive vice president for Sears Roebuck and Company. He was featured in Fortune magazine for turning around the tire division for Sears. And he was contemplating doing a business venture in Maryland. Consequently, I worked on as the lead consultant on a virtual team, and I never met his tax people. And there was a lady that did the cover page, which was very technical, and it was really nice. So anyway, his administrative team included myself, the tax firm, and the lady that did the cover page. He made a presentation to his people in Maryland, and they accepted the concept on first presentation. And the whole strategy was that you don't give anybody everything. So he made his presentation without any financial statements. And they're going to tell you, oh, well, you have to have financial projections and whatever. No, you don't give your show your financial projections until they show an interest. So when I write a business plan, again, it's based on industry/professional outlook. If I'm going to write a business plan for a proposed restaurant, then I'm going to consult I'm in Illinois, or my client is in Illinois, then I'm going to consult with the Illinois Restaurant Association, which I did for one client, and they gave me permission to be an associate member because they wanted me to write business plans for their members.
Earlier when we were talking, you brought up, and this was maybe the first couple of minutes, how you were, you know, not only searching for your freedom, but what your purpose was. And a lot of times our purpose turns out to be our passion. And I can hear that this is, you know, like a passion to you.
I have a passion for God. I don't have a passion for anybody or anything but God. Everything else is peripheral to that. If you don't have God in everything that you do, you're not going to be successful. And that's your business. I mean, God first. And I don't want to start preaching, so. But yes. I prayed and asked God. I was sitting in my office on the 22nd floor of the Illinois Center complex, and I asked God, I'm like, please show me what I can do, and I don't need anyone else to do it, because I had tried various things, and it was always a middleman. you know, somebody I had to go through to get to something else. And so by asking God to show me what I could do on my own, you know, then he had to show me what my purpose was. And my primary purpose is to help people. Everything that I do gets people paid. They get some money. The resume can influence the type of job and the amount of money that you make. Same for the business plan, the proposal for contract procurement, the grant proposal. All of that is to secure money, which is a tool for you to do whatever it is that you plan to do, either be it work a job or provide a service or open a business.
What, when, after you sat down and you prayed about, you know, what you should do, and definitely helping people, and that's you know, that's great. That's one of the things that's my passion above, you know, everything else, is to help people. What type of challenges, or what did you view as a challenge when you first started the business?
Well, I told you I was working and I had an office on the 22nd floor of the Illinois Center complex. So when I sent up this prayer, 20 minutes later, this lady called me, and one of my clients had referred her to me, and she wanted me to do her resume. So I told her, I said, I'm not doing resumes any longer, I said, because people don't want to pay for them. They don't want to pay for, you know, all the time and effort that I put into writing a resume. And she literally begged me to do her resume. And I was taught you don't beg for anything. So I said, no, I said, you know, don't beg me. I said, you know, I'm tired. I put all this effort into my work, and I give people a professional product and a quality product to go out there. And, you know, you have a weapon of mass destruction. You know, you can kind of put yourself in the forefront, you know, because your resume is going to stand out. And anyway,
right.
So she kept asking me, and I said, okay. And so she's the lady that encouraged me to get a business card. But this was 20 minutes after I sent that prayer up.
Wow.
And after I got off the phone with her, I started you know, going through my files and putting pricing this and pricing that. And I'm like, how am I going to make any money writing resumes? Well, anyway, this position, I told you, that's what, yeah, I laughed too. And my position was eliminated, as I told you. And so that's what propelled me to go forward with my business.
Wow. If you had
obstacles, everybody that I thought would support me, as far as family is concerned, and I was married at the time, I got no family support. My mother said, why don't you get yourself a real job? I was working 12 and 14 hours a day. You know, and my children, they were teenagers at the time. They resented it. My former husband, he told me I was just trying to make a name for myself. And so I had many obstacles, many obstacles. but you have to be diligent, and you have to stick with it. And a business is like a baby. When it cries, you answer. You know, you can't set it aside and come back later. When everybody's spending money, that's when you have to make some money. So you miss family dinners and family functions and graduations and weddings and funerals because you have to tend to your business.
Wow. Can you please put out your contact information again? We want to make sure that everybody's able to reach you.
Sure. You can contact me at Chandra M. Hooks and Associates, 773-241-7110, or chandra.m.hooks@gmail.com, or you can Google me at Chandra M. Hooks and Associates.
Great. Now, I know that there may be individuals who want to learn how to write grants, and then I know that there may be companies out there who maybe just want to have somebody learn, or a few people within that company learn the business of writing grants to help, you know, that company become more successful. How do you handle those types of situations?
Well, I researched for my master's program. I researched grant writing. I researched training for grant writing. And consequently, as a result of the research I did, I couldn't uncover grant writing training being offered. And my clients, they needed grant writers, and each time they had to pay someone a fee for writing grants, including me. And one client, I was identified as the consultant for the fundraising consultant, and the Chicago Community Trust paid my fee as part of a grant for them. But as I researched the availability of training for grant writers, I found out that nobody was offering grant writing training. So I wrote a syllabus, which was approved by the DePaul University Mastery Review Committee. And I gave my first grant writing workshop at Chicago State in conjunction with the University of Illinois Extension. Well, now, and the syllabus was also a part of the curriculum, and the curriculum was part of portion of my master's curriculum. Consequently, the university owns whatever you write. So now DePaul University is offering a grant writing certificate. And grant writing in Chicago, there are a number of colleges and universities that are now offering certifications for grant writing. So you don't need, and to be certified or go to a college or university to learn grant writing. And
so you were actually...
And I teach it. Go ahead.
I mean, I'm sorry, but just thinking about what you said, you were really the trailblazer that actually kicked this off. And then not only that, they, like, you know, a lot of different things decided to monopolize it in the public or profit school systems, and you have to pay for these, even though you're the one that actually created the curriculum and the class. You were pretty much the first person that done it.
Exactly.
And you know that really doesn't seem fair, but there's so many times when people create things and then corporations, governments, they kind of take it.
Not kind of take it, they do take it.
Hell yeah.
And the reason that I created the curriculum and I do the workshops is because if one person in the organization learns how the rudiments of grant writing, and I teach, if you follow all the steps when I teach grant writing, you at the end of the workshop, you will have a grant proposal. It'll be the fundamentals of grant proposals, but and everybody gets better the more they do anything. But I'm not going to sell you any books, you know, sell you any tapes, you know. Eventually I'll write a book on how to write grant proposals from scratch. And that book will accompany the workshop. But if you just follow the steps, you will have a completed product, and then you can teach another person in your organization or in the agency how to do the same thing. I had a mother and daughter team. I instructed the workshop at St. Michael's Church of God in Christ as a community education initiative. This mother and daughter team, they took the class together, and after the class, they went back to the church, and the mother was the church administrator. They taught the pastor's wife how to write grants. The mother has since passed. We became friends. And she passed. She had lung cancer. And between her daughter and the pastor's wife, they're still not only soliciting grants, they're procuring grants. They're receiving money for the daycare center and different components of the services that they offer.
That's a great success story, and I'm definitely interested in talking to you about some of the businesses you offer, and maybe you know, getting this word out to a lot of people. You know, I'm not very happy that I didn't have enough time to market you, but I'm going to make sure that we have a lot of archive listeners, so a lot of times our shows will get more listeners after the show. So I'm going to make it my duty to, you know, get the word out and people can hear and, you know, understand and, of course, help you to help them. But I've just learned so much in these few minutes. And
well,
a lot
before
of the questions...
we go.
Oh, we still have
before
about five
we go,
minutes.
Oh, well, but before we go, a very important part of writing grants, and this is where I've been successful and my clients, is that I can take different projects and break them down into components, and each one can be funded separately. So instead of, you don't have to submit the whole proposal for funding, you can submit a project or a component to be funded. And then if you have, I teach people how to take the proposal, and you can submit it over and over and over again. Just pull out what I call the meat of the proposal, and then take the cover letter or add certain information that is required of the potential donor.
The meat and the potatoes.
That's right.
Now, what would you say the biggest reason that a person should go into their own business?
Business opens up doors for you, for your family. You know, if you network and network effectively, things will come to you. You don't have to go out there looking for everything. It will come to you. And so it can help your children. It can help your husband or your wife, members of your family, your friends. You know, a business opens up all kinds of doors.
That's good. I definitely believe that. Now, is there anyone that you...
I refuse to pay top dollar for anything. I want to know somebody that sells what I want, not just what I need,
but what
I want. And you can go to trade shows and different types of events, business events, and buy directly from the supplier, you know, and you save a lot of money doing so.
Now, this is a part of the interview that we definitely sometimes love to get to, and at other times, you know, we wish we had a little bit more time. But is there anything that you would like to thank?
Well, first of all, I want to thank God. And then my business mentor. My business mentor was H. Sam McGreer. He was the assistant director of small business development for the entire state of Illinois. And
Wow. That
man, who is an African American, he's retired now, but he made things possible for all kind of training that I received through the SBA that I didn't even know existed. I wouldn't even have known to ask for that type of training. And so he was very instrumental in getting my business off the ground, as well as Mr. Willie Miller, who was the chairman of the Chatham Business Association. It used to be Chatham Businessmen's Association, and any black man that was about anything, politics or whatever, was a member of Chatham Businessmen's Association. But Mr. Miller was very instrumental in pushing me to the forefront and made me very visible through that organization.
Okay, Chandra, I'm very glad that you came on, that you was able to, you know, tell us a little bit about your business and about your life. I would love to have you come on again if you wanted to be, you know, detailed about just one specific area. It was great having you on thinkbigradio.com. And, of course, we'd like to thank our listeners for also spreading the word about thinkbigradio.com.
You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.